Well, big news out last night is that BHP Billiton, the company well known in South Africa because of the merger that created it with the old Gencor, which became Billiton, it's making a bid for the 107-year-old Anglo-American Corporation, once the giant of South African business. We're going to talk to Piet Viljoen from Merchant West to get insight into whether the bid is going to go ahead, in other words, if it will be successful. And indeed, why now? Piet, good to be talking with you, fresh from BNC6 only a month ago, and yet here we are. You know, we're looking at perhaps a transformative transaction for South African companies. But interesting to see the reports that are coming from overseas to say for BHP, not really transformative. It's only about a quarter of the size of what BHP is now. What a difference from the past.
Exactly. I think it just goes to show how far South Africa is falling behind its global counterparts. The Anglo-American, which is once a jewel in the crown of the global mining industry, is actually now just a quarter of the size of BHP, which has a while ago, I mean, 20, going back 20 years ago, the merger of BHP Billiton, as you pointed out, created this business. And South African assets were the core of that business called BHP Billiton. But those assets have been jettisoned and closed down a long time ago. And I think the same might happen to Anglo's South African assets now as well.
It is quite extraordinary when you hear from a global company that wants to buy another or one of its rivals that one of the preconditions will be you've got to get rid of certain parts of your business which are in that country, given that they've did this once before with South 32. Maybe you could explain that history.
So South 32, if I recall, was unbundled out of the Billiton portion that went into BHP. And that was a South African mining assets, chrome and other type of assets. I don't recall exactly what they owned or still own, but that was the South African portion of that was unbundled out of BHP Billiton. And I think BHP in these talks are asking Anglo to do a similar sort of thing, unbundling the bulk of the South African assets being Kumba and Hamplats before the transaction is consummated.
But going back a few decades, even three decades ago, Anglo-American was the giant in South Africa. It owned so much of not only the mineral resources, but of the industrial side as well. What's happened here, Piet? Just for people who've been maybe gone to Mars for 30 years and came back, how would you explain it to them?
Look, very simply, during the sanctions era, large corporates accumulated big sprawling empires of assets in South Africa because foreign owners were forced to sell them. So a company like Anglo-American, which is a mining business, also had a subsidiary called AMEC, which was an industrial investment holding company. And in there, owned all sorts of industrial assets as well and financial assets. I remember they also owned First National Bank in those days. They bought Barclays from Barclays and renamed it First National Bank. So Anglo-American, the sprawling empire South Africa, and when the economy opened up again in 1994, over time they have sold and bundled all their non-mining interests. So they've become smaller and rationally so, because you don't want a business that is a miner and a bank and owns industrial assets like Mondi and those sort of things. So it's become much more focused on mining. But then what's happened since then is because of the inept government in South Africa and the poor management of the infrastructure, South African mining assets values have fallen far behind the international counterparts.
And the Australians at BHP in Melbourne say they want none of it. They'll do the deal. They'd like to do the deal, but they actually don't want to have anything to do with South Africa, which is sending a bit of a signal.
I think it's sending a strong signal, but these signals have been sent by corporates for years and years and years now, where, you know, I can understand a foreign entity doesn't want to invest in a country where they have to give up 30% of the economic proceeds to a BEE partner for nothing in return or very little in return. So it makes it very tough to do business in South Africa for anyone, and it makes us very uncompetitive. So it's quite understandable that they want nothing to do with these assets. On top of that, if you look at Kumba, it's a good business, but it cannot deliver its product to global markets because of the infrastructure collapse. So, you know, who would want to own that?
Why is BHP making this bid for Anglo American in the first place if it comes with so many complications?
Well, I don't think it's that complicated. Anglo American has a couple of core assets, of which copper, its South American copper assets are one, and that is a very attractive, as they call it in the market, future-facing metal, copper. You know, if you want to electrify everything, then you need copper. Batteries, you need copper for transmission infrastructure and all those sort of things. So copper is a very important future-facing metal, and Anglo has very good copper assets in South America. So those are very attractive to BHP. So I think there are some attractive assets there, and I think it would make sense. I mean, I think if you put BHP's copper assets together with Anglo's copper assets, they would control 10% of global copper output, which I think puts them in a very strong position.
Chinese won't like that, though, given their reliance on copper imports.
I guess so. I think you have to build your business the best way you can. I think from BHP's point of view, this makes a lot of sense.
Is there anything the South African government could do to block it?
I'm not sure. I think Anglo American is incorporated in the UK. I'm not sure it is, as the Anglo American PLC is subject to South African law, but politics does have influence. But I think the politicians here, short-sightedly, would probably welcome the unbundling of things like Kumba and Platts, because they've become more South African. I think that would be the politicians' view. They would sort of welcome that. But I think it's very short-sighted. But then politicians aren't known for their long-term views at all.
So not really politically sensitive, even though we've got an election coming up. You would have thought, just on the sidelines, let the election go. It's only a month's time. And then maybe launch your bid. So I'm just wondering about the timing, if there's any relevance there.
Yeah, I think the timing probably is not as much to do with the South African elections, which in a global business like BHP, which is the business itself is probably multiple times the size of the South African economy. I don't think South African elections are that important to them. I think what's more important is the downdraft in the share price of something like Anglo's over the past year or so, and taking advantage of that to make an opportunistic bid to acquire control of some attractive assets.
So if I understand correctly, Anglo American's share price it's massively underperformed BHP. Bloomberg, when they ran the story, which we've got on BizNews this morning, it shows that in the last two years, it's underperformed by 45%. So Anglo's share price has underperformed, perhaps influenced by its big focus on South Africa, or a significant focus on South Africa. And now BHP is opportunistically going in there and saying, well, we'll buy those good assets and leave the South African ones behind.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happening. It is sometimes just as simple as that. Anglo has underperformed because it has big exposure to underperforming South African assets. And you have to say that, you know, what is it like in the tunnel for Kumba? I mean, they just can't get the iron ore to the ports because of the collapse of the government-controlled infrastructure. Plus, then you have the government rules, which say you have to have a BE partner which owns 30% of your venture for nothing in return. And same goes for Amplats. And then you have to think that maybe they're questioning long-term viability of the platinum industry, per se. So there's those question marks. So it makes sense to unbundle those. And the jewel in the crown for them would be the copper asset.
What is interesting is they have not made the same requirement or expressed it on diamonds, but De Beers, which is the original founding block of Anglo American, going all the way back to Cecil John Rhodes. Can we read anything to that? Do you think they want to move into the diamond industry?
Look, I think the diamond industry has a long-term future as opposed to the question marks around the platinum industry. I don't know. Platinum might or might not have a long-term industry, but I'm fairly certain that diamonds does have a long-term future. And it is an attractive market. It goes through cycles. It's going through a down cycle at the moment, which incidentally is probably a good time to get exposure to it. And I also don't know what sort of shareholder agreements there are between Anglo's and De Beers. Maybe there are certain clauses in that agreement which would trigger certain events in the case of a takeover, which might stop them from unbundling it or separating it from the rump of the other assets. So I don't know what's in there. One can only speculate as to that. But as for the diamond industry, I think it has a long-term future and is going through a downturn at the moment, which is a good time to get exposed.
It is interesting as well that the diamond business is very exposed to Botswana, which doesn't seem to bother the Australians at BHP too much.
Yeah, and then Botswana just last year, I think, renegotiated an agreement with De Beers to allocate as large a percentage of the revenue share to the government. So even there, they have to give up a revenue share. But that, yeah, so Botswana is important. So I think it's important. And marine is also important in the case of De Beers. So, and then that's up and down the coast of Africa. But the important thing is, I don't think diamonds are that reliant on government-run infrastructure, which I think makes it a bit different to some of our assets.
Okay, Pitt, you've seen a lot of these kind of bids and deals. It's mega in a South African context, talking about the current share price of Anglo American has gone up to £33 billion from the bid at around £27 billion. Just explain that, because clearly shareholders are telling us that they think there'll either be a counter bid or BHP will raise its offer, because they're not going to be buying shares at £33 billion if the company is only going to be sold for £27.
Yeah, so I think the market is speculating as to a counter offer. Again, the copper assets that Anglo owns are attractive. BHP can afford a premium because there are some cost synergies between the two businesses that can be taken out, which would accrue to the new owner, BHP. But I think the CEO of BHP is also on record as saying they will not overpay for acquisitions. They have made one or two highly priced acquisitions in the past few years, and they know they've done that. They know they misallocated capital in that regard. Fortunately, it wasn't too big in their life, but it was still a misallocation of capital. And I think they're not going to do the same thing here. They're not going to overpay, generously overpay. So if there is a bidding war, I expect it to be quite a muted bidding war, not a vigorous one.
And those assets, weren't they largely put together by Cynthia Carroll, who was the CEO of Anglo American and got fired for doing just that?
Well, I'm not sure. I think, and I might be mistaken here, but I'm not sure any of the current assets on Anglo's were originated during Cynthia Carroll's time. I think what she was doing mainly was buying back Anglo American shares at very, very high prices at the top of the commodity cycle in 2007-2008. That was her big capital allocation, buyback shares at extremely high prices, which destroyed tremendous shareholder value, and using debt. Thinking back now, however, I do think maybe the iron ore, South American iron ore operations were started during her tenure. So that there is that portion. But Anglo's is what it is and what it has been for a long time.
In other words, not a great performer, it seems to have been. It's a little bit, it feels to me a little bit like the ShopRite Pick and Pay story, where Pick and Pay was the market leader, Anglo being the market leader, and yet here BHP Billiton is four times the size of Anglo today, even after selling off its oil and gas operations some time ago. So,
Selling off its South African assets, so it's reduced a lot of what it had where it was BHP Billiton, and it's still four times the size of Anglo's, which just shows you the extent of the underperformance, which is not all Anglo's management's fault. I mean, they did make some capital allocation mistakes, but the problem is the bulk of the assets operate in an economy which is mid-current, which allows no scope for growth.
So there's a big signal there. Talking to shareholders, you could imagine some people on the sidelines saying, I want a little bit of this action. Is it smart to buy Anglo shares today on the prospect of it being bought out?
I think if you buy today's price, I think the buyout, the bid is basically in the price today. So I'm not sure there's a lot of upside from here. Unless a vigorous bidding war commences, I don't know if that'll happen or not. I think the odds are less than 50%. I think the asset to own is still BHP, which is what we own in the Merchant West Value Fund. It's a well-run business, generates significant cash, and I think it'll be a better business after this acquisition.
That's interesting. When you had a look at the two of them, and it is a value fund, in other words, you're looking at what gives you the best, well, you're paying the less price possible in every dollar for a company. Why did you go with BHP rather than Anglo American, given that people have been talking about Anglo being bought out for a while?
Yeah, so I think over the past 18 months, we have move the merchant waste investments value fund more towards the quality side of the spectrum, but not moving away from value. Remember, what is value? Value is the present value of future cash flows, and a value investor tries to buy those cash flows for less than the present value. So to the extent that we can forecast BHP Billiton's future cash flows, which I'm not sure we're very good at, but we can sort of get a handle on that forecast. We think the market has been and continues to underprice BHP Billiton relative to their future cash flows.
So the stock to buy if you do want to pay or have an interest in this mega takeover would be BHP rather than Anglo. And what are the chances of this going through? Just obviously, you don't know, and there's a lot of water that still has to flow under this bridge.
This is just the initial sort of skirmish in a big battle, which could turn into a big war over time. So it's hard to say what the timing is going to be, but I think it will it can take a while. But I think just sitting in the BHP share is a good place to be for the duration.
Is the chairman of ReCM and he manages funds at Merchant West Investments. And I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.